Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
They're an actor and comedian you've seen in the movie Black Bear, and they're also co-founder of the Squirrel Comedy Theater in New York City. It's Lou Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Hello.
All set.
Thank you.
What an honor. What an honor and a privilege.
It is a privilege.
It's all our honor and privilege.
Quick question for the group.
Okay.
Would you want to live for 90,000 years? I would say no. But then also, are things going to bother you that much? I feel like eventually you're getting murdered.
You don't think you're going to make it to 90,000.
I feel
you think you're going to piss off enough people that you're like, I'm going to get killed.
There's got to be, or at least a mishap at some point.
But you're saying that you would live 90,000 years. So technically,
I guess so. Yeah.
You would be guaranteed.
Yeah. Let's say you're guaranteed to live 90,000 years. Would you take that offer?
Would I be like youthful the way they are in this movie?
You're average. You're like
in my early 20s.
No, you're how you are now.
Oh, so my early 20s.
Yeah. There's a lot of prerequisite questions. Will I be able to play my tuba?
Absolutely.
Is my apartment rent controlled?
Yeah, exactly.
In that case, of course.
I would assume if I lived enough, I would become rich and then poor several times over.
Will you invest?
Just for fun.
Hopefully, yeah.
Just for fun. Just for funsies. You know?
Keep it interesting. I'd probably learn an instrument, a few other languages.
Yeah.
Will there be new languages?
Yeah, I might invent some languages.
You might have a religion.
You'd have enough time.
Sure. But what about seeing all those like loved ones who don't have your immortality? Like,
oh, well, you didn't say that.
Well, I assume, you know.
I don't know. Like, maybe I would say after the first century, I'd kind of become numb to it.
Yeah. Don't you think? Like, you would have a hard time, I think, making connections. Like, you would see people as everyone's an acquaintance when you're living 90,000 years.
Right. You'd be like, oh, you fall in love for the first time. Adorable.
Yeah.
I was like, there's only several ways that this can go. And so, like, good luck with that. I mean, to be honest, I feel like I'm 90,000 years.
Do you?
Yeah, just a little bit.
You look
just
great. Well, these past few years have been hard on all of us, Lou.
That's true.
That'll do it.
Guys, the last couple of years were weird.
Little tough.
Can we have a do-over?
Yeah, I would love a do-over. To be honest, I definitely did it terribly, and I loved it. I was like,
what do you mean you did it terribly?
I did not learn any new abilities or traits. In fact, I've got worse at everything that I felt like I
think that's pretty common. I don't, not everyone is learning how to do sourdough bread. I didn't.
No, I didn't do either. No, I think the thing to like remember is that like we didn't know it was going to be like a year on lockdown. Like it'd be one thing if we go back and be like, for 1 year, you're not going to do anything. Then I think it would have been a different thing. But since we were like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's like, we just didn't know what's happening for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you one thing that I did do. I bought a bunch of Wi-Fi lights.
So many ring lights. You're also
a bunch of ring lights. Yeah.
Well, you could change colors, those kind of lights.
Like you can change colors, but then
through your phone, like an app.
Exactly. But now like I've moved and now I have all these lights and I'm like, okay, where am I gonna put them? Now I have to reset them and it's a whole thing.
What a nightmare.
A whole new studio.
It's a whole new studio.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
And I have to, you know, once you move into a new place, you have to figure out like, what am I going to do with these walls?
Yeah.
Right.
We got artwork up. I see that you're not doing so
nice.
Bad.
It looks like you made some good choices.
Yeah. I have that shitty little.
No, behind. No. There you go. There's some.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
You know,
I figure it takes about 6 months to get comfortable in a new space.
Yeah. I just have a bunch of paintings just lying around. Like there's this one. I'll show you. Mm-hmm. It says, everything's going to be okay, maybe.
Inspirational. I
love to be hopeful yet practical.
That's smart.
And,
I think.
And that's the vibe. It's like, hey, things are going to be great, but there's a possibility it won't.
Or they'll suck. Either way.
I always hear, though, like people in New York are always like, you're never home, though. Who cares how big your place is? You're never home. But it sounds like you are. Are you a bit of a nester?
To be fair, I've got in about maybe 3 hours ago and I had been out since. But I don't I've always been someone who's like, oh, no, I'm good. Like in terms of like doing things,
stuff is good. Yeah.
Yeah. My stuff is good. Like I'm a little bit of a nester in New York, but mostly like, I would say I'm more active now that I've moved because I'm like, oh, I need to find out
explore your neighborhood.
Yes. Explore my neighborhood, figure out what friends are in the neighborhood. So I'm doing a lot of that right now. I'm doing like lunches and stuff and being like, what the fuck's going on in this neighborhood? Tell me.
They're like,
what's going on? And they're like,
where can I do my laundry?
They're like, where is this energy? Why are you so angry? Are you trying to solve a crime? And I think it's like, when am I not?
There's always a crime to solve.
In New York City? Come on.
There's so many that have been unsolved.
So many. I mean, that's
your to-do list is never complete in New York City.
Yeah. And that's why it's always interesting.
That's what they say.
Yeah. In Los Angeles, you serve and you have that. And that's beautiful.
As a waiter, you mean?
You serve as a waiter.
Serve drinks, apps.
And you have your juices. And I love that.
Love my juices.
Mm. Yeah.
I did buy a pineapple kombucha that I'm very excited to try tomorrow. Wow. I think I'll have it tomorrow.
You bought it and you're like, I'm going to save this pineapple kombucha.
When are you going to crack that bad boy open? When are you going to celebrate that?
Friday feels right. On a Friday, you know?
Really unwind. The weekend's begun.
Yeah. Well, I had a terrible kombucha earlier in the week. It was like a cherry one and it was like foul. It was awful. I had to throw half of it away, but like I was still like, I like a kombucha. I don't have them all the time. Like maybe once every few months I'll have one, but it does like make me feel better, like a cleanse. Huh.
Has there ever been a kombucha in which you were like, refreshing? Like what
some of
is
them,
the trait?
Cayenne one.
What's
the cayenne one? The one with like the cayenne, a little bit of heat. It does clear my, like whenever I have a cold, it like helps my sinuses.
All right.
Okay. So I'll give it up for that. Don't come for my kombucha that I have once every 3 months.
Well, we didn't know that it was once every 3 months. We assumed like most beverages, when you purchase them, You're eventually going to drink it. Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. I will. Not investing in a, it's not a bottle of wine.
It's only been 3 days. What's the rush?
Still weird for a bottle of a beverage that's not like
is
wine.
Is that weird?
Like
that.
Is it 2 liters? Is it a large? Yeah, it is odd that you have. Yeah, it's very
that
odd.
I went to Trader Joe's. I bought one juice and then one kombucha. And I'll drink that later in the week.
So wait.
It feels weird.
I like having a choice of beer. I always have Topo Chico, just unflavored regular Topo Chico.
Okay.
Coke Zero.
Yeah.
And water. So I like a sample of beverages. So now I threw a kombucha into the mix.
So you have unflavored Topo Chico. Have you ever partaken in a Soda Stream? Or is that like something
no,
that,
I'm not interested in that
you're not doing
too much work?
I'm not refilling something. I gotta go to Bed Bath and Beyond now every 3 months. Get out of here.
You're not refilling something?
No,
so you don't have like a Brita.
Yeah,
or
why
anything?
Why go to Bed Bath every 3 months where you could just get a kombucha?
Right.
Yeah. But I also like drinking out of a glass bottle. You know, Topo Chico is better out of a glass bottle.
It is mm-hmm. very classy, the Topo Chico.
That's me.
She's a lady.
Class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't know
of,
I was talking to royalty.
Speaking of royalty. Oh,
thank you.
Today, we're talking about Jupiter ascending. John, what's the deal with Jupiter ascending?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Jupiter ascending. It was written and directed by the Wachowskis and tells the story of Jupiter Jones, an ordinary cleaning woman who discovers she's really the heiress of an intergalactic nobility and must fight to protect the inhabitants of Earth from an ancient and destructive industry. It stars Mila Kunis, Channing Tatum, Sean Bean, Eddie Redmayne, and Douglas Booth. It premiered February 6, 2015 and made $184 million off a budget of somewhere between $176 to $210 million. It received mostly negative reviews. David Edelstein of Vulture.com called it inane from first frame to last, adding it was miraculously unmiraculous. And British film critic Mark Kermode said, Jupiter Ascending is a lot of things. Bonkers, all over the place, incoherent, preposterous, ridiculous dialogue that George Lucas would have thrown in the bin, spectacularly overripe performances. I'm not going to say it's good, but I would be lying if I say I didn't enjoy it. And it was nominated for 6 Razzie Awards, Worst Picture, Worst Actor for Channing Tatum, Worst Actress for Mila Kunis, Worst Screenplay, Worst Director, and Worst Supporting Actor for Eddie Redmayne, who actually won. And that is the deal with Jupiter Ascending.
Well, the Razzies are a bunch of cowards, though. You know, they always go off the easy, bad movies. Like, nominate The Whale, you cowards. That's the problem. Anyways,
well, it's a different year.
Yeah, but they never will, though. But Lou, we asked you to pick a movie, and you chose Jupiter Ascending. Why Jupiter Ascending?
What's special about Jupiter Ascending is that, you know, there are bad movies that you can enjoy for, like, some parts. And this, like most classic bad movies, has a lot of flaws.
Sure.
There's way too much talking. There's way too much talking going on. There's no clear understanding of who these people are and why they are. Eddie Redmayne gives an insane performance.
Yep.
Thank goodness, by the way.
To be honest, carried that movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Carried it. And they were for, and there's this very forced, straight narrative that feels unnatural. And everything about that movie screams queerness.
And everything about this movie?
Yeah, everything about what I just said screams queerness. Forced, straight narrative.
Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne carrying the queer community as he always does.
Thank you for your service, straight man.
Thank you for your service.
Are you a Wachowskis fan?
I not particularly, no. But
not even The Matrix?
I love the first Matrix.
Sure.
It's a classic. And it changed, like, movies.
Yeah.
The whole movie landscape and how movies were made. It was revolutionary. And I loved V for Vendetta.
Well, they produced, but yes. Sure.
Yeah. They were involved somehow.
Their fingerprints are all over it.
Yeah. Their
DNA is within it.
The Wachowskis are knee deep in it. But I chose this movie because I was like, this was a bad movie that I remember. And particularly it was Eddie Redmayne's performance. And I was like, this is insane.
Yes.
This is so insane. He was in a different movie.
Yes.
And I wish everyone else joined that movie.
Sure. Well, this is about like 7 movies in one, really. It's like constantly changing genres. So you just have to, like, keep up, essentially.
They call it a space opera.
That makes sense.
So are you a fan of, like, do you enjoy, I assumed you rewatched this?
Yes. When I rewatched it, I forgot how bad it actually was. It's like one of those things, you know, when you pick a song in karaoke and you're singing it, and I'm like, oh my God. And then you're like,
this
oh
goes
my
on
God,
and no, it's 8 minutes
song to go.
Why
and
do I keep picking American Pie? Right.
Exactly. And I think that's what happened when I watched it. I was like, oh no.
Are you someone who like enjoys a bad movie? Like watch, or do you like a schlock?
I love bad movies. Some of my best memories of movie watching is me and my friends talking shit about the movie as the movie's happening.
Of course.
And sometimes people just did not want us to do that. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. You're watching a bad movie. You should be grateful.
Shouldn't have made Babylon.
Yeah. And there's just certain movies where it's like you got to be 2 hours or under for me to enjoy your badness. Once it's then you're now being taken hostage in that third hour. And that's why I personally have no desire to watch anything from what's his name? Damien Chazelle.
Yeah.
No desire to. And you know what? They're doing well. There's people that like
they're fine. Yeah.
They're fine. And I'm just going to say, you stay over there. Yeah. Okay. I don't need to see this, but what I do need to see is another Jupiter Ascending.
Thank you. Jupiter Jones story must continue.
Okay. There was so much story left to be had.
Absolutely.
Apparently, because there were 15 stories.
There's 15 stories at least. What about you, John? Is this your first time with Jupiter
Ascending? No, I saw it when it came out. I saw it in the theater, and I also remember thinking it was bad. I didn't remember any specifics rewatching it. What I remembered was like, oh, well, Channing Tatum's in it. I know he's like half wolf, and that was sort of sexy in a surprising way. And yeah, this movie is not good, and it's surprising to me. Like in watching it, I was like, it's colorful. It's got all this fun, campy stuff that I like, and yet I'm not enjoying it. I actually, while watching it, was thinking this should have been a TV series because they were trying to do so much and it happened so fast. Like every 8 minutes, there's another battle or a wedding or something goes on with bees or some crazy dinner scene with her family who are just as insane as these weird space creatures. So it was a movie that I was like, I don't know why I'm not enjoying this even in a bad way. I thought it was ultimately just kind of flat and boring and so much CGI, like just an insane, unenjoyable amount. And it seemed like no one in the movie was having fun. That's me. How about you, Mark?
This is maybe like my fourth or fifth time watching Jupiter Ascending.
Wow.
I do think it's a fun, bad, just especially like the first like 90 minutes. It gets a little slow towards the end, especially like Eddie Redmayne disappears for too long. But I do enjoy the beginning, how it just keeps changing what the movie is. Like for the first, every 5 minutes, like all of a sudden now we're in a Miyazaki movie. Now we're in Brazil. Now we're doing like Matrix style action. And I do think that 1 8-minute chase scene is pretty good in the rooftop around when they're flying around.
Yes.
That's all pretty well Chicago. Well executed. Chicago. I think that is like pretty well, like the Wachowskis do action pretty well, but beyond that one's like, this is not a good movie by any means. Do I care about any of the lore or the characters? Absolutely not. But I never find myself that bored with it. It's just so goofy. Like they're trying to cram so much story into one movie that should have been like doled out maybe over like 3 movies. Seems like to be with the, like, there's just so much lore than weird aliens that are all like the dumbest looking aliens you've ever seen. They're introducing you to new planets where you have no idea what's going on. And then cutting back to Chicago feels like a real de-heightening half the time.
Absolutely.
When that happened, that made no sense. It made no sense. And I thought all of the performance, like everyone had like made a decision that this is not a good movie and they're going to phone it in. Like I think they felt it. I think that was the vibe. And then certain people was like, this is my first movie, so I'm going to give it my all.
Right.
That might've been Mila Kunis giving it her all.
I was about to say that. I think that's the most you're going to get out of Mila. And here's the thing. Stunning. Uh-huh. Okay, and that's the problem, is that they gave her too much dialogue.
Well, I guess there's an IMDb trivia that says like her character asks over 100 questions.
That's all she does.
What's happening? What's going on? Why are you doing this? I also think it's the least queer Wachowski movie compared to all their others.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think
Speed Racer? I haven't seen it.
Speed Racer is like pure, like visual fantasia
is the entire time. Queer visuals.
Yeah.
Also, the love, what's interesting is that the love story truly was not built up at all.
No, it
comes out of nowhere. And it basically the whole vibe of it is like, I'm horny for you. Like, I think that's what, like, it's not love. It's like, I'm horny for you. I like what's going on. You saved my life. And you're a dog. And that's hot to me. And so I think that was also something that went down. I think in watching the movie and trying to break it down into what they were trying to say, I think what they were trying to say is not every movie should be made.
It's an anti-movie movie.
It's an anti-movie movie. It was like, oh, you love movies? You really love movies? Okay.
Well, we'll see about
that. We're going to spend $175 million to prove you wrong.
Yeah. We're going to give you 8 different movies.
Yeah.
And you're not going to like any of them.
They're all bad.
They're going to be bland as all hell. Except this weird little evil man who's just He's having a great time.
Screaming, whispering.
I thought he cried a lot more in the movie than he did. That was me. Yeah. That was me being gagged by that performance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also like Eddie Redmayne's performance. And I think Eddie Redmayne's character is basically an archetype of most queer-coded villains.
Sure.
Like
Sheriff of Nottingham's.
Yeah. It's very much that energy. He was like, you know, obsessed with their mother.
Yeah.
Ultimately, spoiler alert, killed their mother. Again, I'm still trying to understand. So, Ed Redmayne kills his mother. The lineage goes to reincarnated within Mila Kunis. And the way Mila Kunis discovers that she's royalty is bees fuck with her.
Bees are genetically designed to sense royalty.
Yeah, they sense
royalty.
Didn't
you know that?
That line was really good.
That's pretty funny. That was a fun day on set.
Mm-hmm.
Are genetically designed to recognize royalty.
I will say this, though. I do also think the CGI is better than most, like, your current crop of MCU movies, because this is from a time when they would actually put time into CGI. Like,
Marvel hadn't hired everyone.
Yeah, there was. That's what I'm saying. There wasn't like crunch. And the CGI actually looks good in this. Like, it looks better now than current movies do.
It does look really good. And there is a thing, like, when you do watch CGI movies, like, not on a projection screen, you can tend to sense where the CGI is a lot more, just because of like the frame per minute and whatever. But this one held up. There were a couple of scenes where I was just like, oh, this is odd. But I thought, again, so much exposition.
Right.
There was so much.
And then at the end, it's
not enough in some ways,
humans.
Too.
It's the Matrix again. We're farming humans. That's all it is.
Well, yeah, once you realized, and again, I don't want to confuse people. So basically, the movie starts basically just showing Mila Kunis's character's conception, because we needed that.
We got to go all the way back.
We got to go all the way back.
From the very beginning.
Before she was even born. What I loved about that, though, was they were having this really sweet moment, and it was just, to me, it was just very funny. And they were like, and they're just like being playful. And then just, these dudes just kicked down the door with guns out of nowhere. Like, that was not the tone. And they were like, oh no. And then Mila Kunis's daddy gets shot, but in the stomach, and dies instantly, which is, that's not how that works.
Well, that's alien guns, though.
Alien bullets are different.
Maybe there was a virus in the bullet or something.
We don't know.
Mm.
And because the movie doesn't explain anything, that's plausible.
That's plausible. Yeah. Well, Lou, what else is plausible, as you may or may not know, is that we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. At one point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be added to the wheel,
or you can choose a pre-existing category.
We always sound like we've had a head injury when we start to do that. That makes sense. Don't worry about it. This is our current top 5 gayest movies ever. So this is our current ranking. In fifth place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In fourth place with a 92.20%, Showgirls. In third place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. In second place with a 93.21%, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And still number one with a 94.83% is Female Trouble.
All right, Lou. So if you had to guess now, how well do you think Jupiter Ascending is going to do?
I think it's like a solid 25.
25%?
25% no, or 25th place?
I want to say 25th place. I think the movie in itself, energy-wise, in the canon of all movies that have been made, I want to give it like a solid 75.
75. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what's around right now with the 75.19% in 37th place is Grease. Okay. So honestly, I could see that. Maybe. We'll see if you could be gayer than Grease.
Yeah.
It's a good goal.
So let's get into it. The first group of categories are the canon categories. So these we're each going to give the score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Lou, what would you give Jupiter Ascending on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
In terms of actual gay characters that people will love and celebrate, I would unfortunately... just in the canon. Yeah. Because to me, there's only one that's really giving it. I mean, is it the whole movie
I think there's a few. There's also...
There's a few tiny ones.
Intergalactic Advocate Bob.
Advocate
Bob,
I wrote that. He's very okay. John Early-like.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. That is a... Yes. That little robot twink.
And also Balaam, who's Eddie Redmayne. Balaam himself comes off pretty queer to me. And then also his assistant with a drag queen name, Chicanery Knight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone named Chicanery, come on.
Also, I think the vibes of the movie are very bisexual.
Or pan, because, even. All or these aliens, pan. You know.
All these aliens. I think at any point, any of those characters could have hooked up with each other, and they probably have. So, thinking of queer canon and representation.
There's also that dog-faced assistant to the princess, Maledictus.
Yes. And also the brother was giving me queer vibes as well.
But then he's like, so we see him with his like surrounded by a bevy.
The weird
ladies.
Orgy of lady demons.
They're like a project. I don't know.
Weird mermaidy things. Yeah.
It was all ladies though, unfortunately. Oh, that pretty man. It's a very sad story. Sad song say so much though.
I would give it a 60.
60.
Yeah.
There are a lot of minor characters and a lot of sort of like, yeah, who knows who, you know, like if the drugs are right, sure. But for me, it's a 35.
35. Tough but fair. The John Flynn guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a 42. Give it an average of 45.67, which is 14 points higher than Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, the toy maker. So there you go.
All right.
We love that.
We love to see it. Our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons? Well, I think the biggest one are the Wachowskis themselves.
I agree.
Yes, they themselves are enormous queer icons.
Mila Kunis, not so much. Is she for the gays? I feel like she's for straight people.
She's an actress, so any actress has some sort of a gay following, but...
True story. But...
Like as assistants or helpers, you mean?
Yeah.
Or stylists?
Here's I mean, she's got like Black Swan, so she's got some sort of...
Yeah.
She does have Black Swan, but also I just feel like...
She's known for not showering.
Which the gays love.
Which the gays love and respect.
I knew that about her. I don't love or respect that.
She's married to Ashton Kutcher.
Huge gay
icon.
Sure,
huge gay icon.
Enormous.
Anyone who's been on Shark Tank, he's great.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum for Magic Mike. Give it a little bit for
icon?
Magic Mike.
You gotta give Channing a little bit of something. Something
I love those movies, don't get me wrong.
Because he's really good dancing. And he did that Beyonce lip sync performance with Beyonce.
There you
go. So he gives strong ally. He gives strong ally.
Definitely.
Are you being an ally if you're doing the lip syncing, if you're taking the spotlight? Do we need straight people to be lip syncing? I don't. What are they subverting? Nothing. I'm already powerful. Now look at me more.
No, he's using his straight platform to
highlight
to
Beyonce.
Beyonce, yeah.
To highlight Beyonce,
who's not really getting the opportunities
that we'd hope that she'd get.
Right. Yeah.
There's so much she can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like build a table, you know?
I bet she could. She'll at least hire Blue Ivy to do it or someone.
Yeah, she'll make her kids.
She'd hire her daughter to do it.
She's going on TaskRabbit, I'm sure. So what do we think for gay icons?
I don't think
the Wachowskis. I think that's the biggest.
Yeah, I think that's kind that's of the biggest it. One. Yeah.
So what do we think, Lou? 0 to 100.
So from 0 to 100, I'm gonna give it 35.
35. Not much love for the Wachowskis.
I think for the Wachowskis, I will give it 68.
68. John, more love for the a Bound fan, possibly.
Possibly.
You have no idea what I'm talking
I've
about.
I've never seen it. No.
You've never seen Bound? John,
nope.
Get out of the house.
Okay.
I'll give it a 65. Giving it an average of 56, which is 2.47 points higher than Pain and Glory. And that's an Alma Devar film.
Hmm.
All right. Our next one. I guess Wachowski's and Alma Devar are probably about the same level, gay icon wise.
I would put Alma Devar higher than them.
I don't know. I don't know if I would. I think they're, I don't know. In the same ball, but the same tier, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But within that tier, he might be higher. I don't know. Does any of this matter? Absolutely not. All right, the next category, the queer gaze. Now, by this, we mean, how can you tell, like, oh, this was made by a queer person just from the visuals alone? I mean, they do have
there's a lot. There's a lot.
For like,
there's a lot of,
yeah.
There's a lot of shirtlessness unnecessarily. Eddie Redmayne, to control his spaceship, was just naked in water. And
yeah.
I was like, that's...
That's a spa day. That's a choice. Like yeah. Landing. It was unfortunate what they did to Channing Tatum's face, though. His head, that like,
yeah.
If you were to make that in a video game, you'd be like, no, you can't choose every weird option.
Right.
Don't dye your like goatee situation because it looked so bad.
No, he looked like a werewolf puddle of mud. Or something.
But also, bad dye jobs, very queer.
Sure.
Bad dye jobs. Very queer. Very queer. I need a change. And you do it. And then you look at those photos and you're like, that was a choice.
That was not the
I
change
was going
I needed.
For something.
That
yeah.
was not the change I needed. What I needed was a therapist.
Is there a bigger red flag than frosted tips? We say no.
No. So I think just that the visual on Channing Tatum and also him shirtless for long periods of time, really great.
But compared to like the Matrix or, you know, it's definitely like their least kinky movie.
Yes, I think yeah. also this felt very, they were trying to go very main, it felt mainstreamy.
It felt like it felt like they were giving a job of like, make up a sci-fi world that we can like churn out a franchise of. But like, no one seemed excited by this world. Like no one, nothing, it's all pretty cliched and you know, it's nothing like that fresh or even that interesting.
I wonder if it was something that was forced on them.
I wouldn't doubt
Does
it.
Does that happen? Do people get really forced? We're forcing this $170 million movie.
Or they're
on
giving you.
You
like, hey, we're looking for like, would you got another?
Yeah.
Side? We're,
what else do you have?
We not a franchise. What else do you have? And they're like, we got nothing. I don't know.
And I bet you they were like, yeah.
Again?
Yeah. And I bet you they were like, put in more family.
Yeah.
Put in more family. Have the wolf boy on spaceship skates. Yeah. You know, but also
bees are really hot. Bees are really zeitgeisty right now. Let's have bees in here somehow.
The spaceships,
wedding.
Rollerblading, queer.
Very Jet Set Radio. I don't know if you guys remember that game.
I do remember that game.
But
game.
It reminded me a lot of Jet Set Radio.
The tagging game.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to get into it, John.
John, get into Jet Set Radio. This is the impossible for you to play right now.
You got
to
get a Dreamcast, John.
Yeah, John.
I will see if anyone has one on eBay.
Sure, somebody does.
I'm sure.
I know they
You got to get Crazy Taxi. That's what I had a Dreamcast. I played a lot of Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi was a very good game.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I was just like, that's enough. Like, this music is fine, but that was enough of it. Right. But it was good.
Well, what do you want to give this for the queer gaze?
I'm gonna give it a 65.
65.
Yeah, I'll go 62.
62. I'll give it a 50. They've done better. Giving it a 59, which is 2.33 points lower than the 2022 version of Scream. All right. Are you guys excited for the Scream 6 set in New York City?
I'm very excited.
I'm excited. I like a quickly churned out sequel. That bodes well for me. For a horror movie, you know what I mean? Scream 2 was released the next year, and that came out well.
I think, and that's why I love horror movies. Horror movies are very of the people. You know,
yes.
It is not like we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Like, we're just fucking churning this shit out. Mm-hmm. People are going to die. The effects are going to be practical as all hell.
Yeah.
I love that.
We have no choice but to stand.
Yeah.
Compelled. All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Okay.
So I think here it does really well.
It does well, but it's also like, I thought it would do better.
I think that it does well in the fact that it's so frenetic. Like, there really is, like, you really don't ever have a moment to breathe.
Which someone mentioned it has the pacing of a TV show. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it does. In, like, a good way.
Not a good way, because you, like, I think
we're setting up seven plot lines.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They're setting up, like, it seemed like they were setting up something that never happened.
Right. But in like a Star Wars or a Matrix, you like see it through the point of view of one person, and like there might be a quick scene aside to slowly build out. The worlds are more slowly and thoughtfully built out. But this one, they're just trying to do it right at the beginning. And we couldn't care less.
But I will say, when people are introduced, there are some good entrances.
Well, Jupiter's wedding one is pretty good.
That one's a good one.
On that floating platform. And every time a spaceship comes out of a portal.
Right. Hyperspace.
You know, I love spaceships, Sean.
Yeah,
I know you do. Yeah. And there's a lot of like people just like bursting in a room, shooting people. You know what I mean? Like Eddie Redmayne like comes in on a floating throne at one point. Like there's a lot of stuff just going on. But yeah, it's just so hyper frenetic that it's just like, what's happening? Yeah.
Right.
Like in between it is some of the most bland toast. Like. Dialogue.
Yeah.
Oh, the dialogue was truly, truly spectacularly bad.
It was bad. It was bad. It was so bad. I was like, wow, this is taking me out of it. These people talk. I was like, how long is this?
You were into it before that?
I was into like, I thought the action was
pretty fun. The opening, that one long chase, pretty good.
And you know what it is? And again, and I hate to bring up queer icon Eddie Redmayne, is that he was the only one that I felt had any charisma.
I think you're right.
And everyone else was, because there were so many words, I guess they were just focusing on remembering their lines.
It's all like exposition.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 70. Fuck it.
70.
I'll give it a 69.
69, you perv.
Ha ha ha.
I'll give it a 65. Give it an average of 68. All right, the next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence? Honestly, shockingly low, I think. I looked up Christian Spotlight on the movies.
Okay.
This movie, they had no real big issues with it. Because they're right, nothing really that outrageous or
nothing
transgressive
really that,
happens. There's a few swear words and bare butts, but that's about it. I hate to be in agreement with Christian Spotlight on the movies, but it is just kind of more bland than there's nothing really to be offended by.
Do you think he'd be offended by getting married just as like a political thing as opposed to like for love?
He's in politics. He understands alliances and things like that, you know?
Sure, sure.
And he understands murdering mothers.
Absolutely.
But you don't think like Mila Kunis being attracted to Channing Tatum, who's part wolf or dog or whatever animal he is, you don't think that's a problem for him?
Nah.
I think that he would love it.
You think he'd love it?
Because,
secretly?
Yeah.
Don't let mother know.
His dog.
I guess because like you never buy the romance, it never feels like a real thing that you need to be worried about. You know what I mean? I don't think he's going to watch this movie. Oh, this is going to start people wanting
to. He's going to be like upset about Mila Kunis. She thinks she's selling her eggs at one point. You don't think he's going to be frown upon that?
No, are hardcore Christians against fertilization?
Selling your eggs? That feels like you're messing with God.
But people always say like, oh, I got my eggs fertilized. We went to a clinic, got fertilized. It's a miracle.
People.
I think Christians
you think Mike Pence,
get that
Christians
done all the
that?
Time. Yeah.
It hasn't been brought up at the last few church meetings I've been to.
I don't think it's contradictory.
To me, it is because it's like it's sort of
well,
like
that's you between you and God, John.
But I mean, that's like time, using contraception time, is like, you know what I mean? Like that you're supposed to just let God.
All
do
I know
what
is
God
I watch a lot of TLC and I've seen a lot of Christians go to the fertility clinics.
Because here's the thing. Not all Christians are fertile.
Thank you. Someone.
And here's the thing. And here's the thing. Because God doesn't want them to have children.
You know, take the note is what we say.
Listen to what your father above tells you and don't have a child. Okay?
Who better than three gay men to tell women what to do with their bodies?
I love telling women what to do with their bodies because I'm an ally.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm helping.
That's why we go shopping with them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Do I have any reference or understanding of their experience?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Am I interested in getting that? No.
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 Not particularly.
Do I have opinions that I'm going to share violently?
Absolutely. Yes. Will I take up all the space and oxygen in the room? You better believe it.
That's right.
I once went shoe shopping with my sister-in-law, and like we were like, you know, at the department store, and like we're leaving, and like, or not leaving, but she has a pair of shoes on. And I go like, April, don't get those. And like, she goes, Mark, these are the shoes I came in with. Like, these are my shoes.
Wow.
Like, well, that was fun.
Well, that was fun. Well, what do you want to give this for the Mike Pence anxiety scale, Lou? How much anxiety do you think Jupiter's
sending? I don't think he's getting much anxiety.
And
the scale is up to 100, right?
0 to 100, correct. Yeah.
I'm going to say 15%.
15.
I think there's more here that he doesn't like than you're giving him credit for, but I'll go 55.
55. Well, if you would say it, that would help us, John.
I did.
And we didn't agree. So I'll give it a 20. Giving it a 30, which is 10 points higher than Jingle All the Way. All right. Our next category, Hell on Heels. How are we doing on Feisty Ladies? Well, Jupiter pretty much just asks questions the whole time.
Yeah, she's not much for her.
She's inquisitive, confused, bewildered,
yeah,
and lost.
I was also curious. Yes, what do you think is the time span of this movie?
3 days, 4 days?
I want to say 3 to 4. Yeah, I felt like 3 to 4, like a jam.
So she goes from being a house cleaner to being told she's part of this intergalactic dynasty and like marrying some. Like, I was just like, no wonder she's just asking questions. But I was like, she's really calm for someone who's had this much happen to her in this amount of time.
There's no sense of wonder to any. There's no sense of awe or wonder about anything that's happening to her.
The thing that's scary is that she is giving no emotion a lot of the time.
And we are living for it. Yes, honey, give us nothing.
Yes. Are you asleep with your eyes open? Yes, mom.
More like Mila Snoozeness.
And I hate to say this, women I would aspire to celebrate in this movie.
Right. There's not a lot of men either, except for Eddie Redmayne, probably.
Exactly. I mean,
I think the other Russian house cleaners, the other women in her family are a little tough. Like, her mother was a little feisty.
Her mother was a little feisty. And I would even say
she's barely in the movie.
The young female captain of that one ship. Yeah.
There's that one, the one captain of the Aegis. Who could forget our favorite cinematic ship, the Aegis?
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is what I call Hollywood Aegist.
Thank you for being so brave. You know what's so hard is like I try to think back to specifics of the movie and there's just a fog.
No.
And I literally watched it today. I watched it today and I was just like, what did they do? And there's nothing memorable except. And I wonder, because everything is so boring, is Eddie Redmayne's performance as good as I think it is? But I think it is.
I think it is.
I disagree.
I wouldn't say it's good, but I think it's memorable. I think it is like goofy. I like that he goes, he's like a Pixie song, loud, quiet, loud, you know?
Yeah.
He's just like whispering, so you turn up the volume on your TV, then the next thing you know, he's screaming your head off.
He's screaming.
Mm-hmm. He just disappears for too much of it.
Yeah, there's
and
not
we have
enough
to be three of these siblings. Like, there has to be three of them, and like that, all we need to learn about their game. It's trying to do this like, weird, like political gamesmanship, like courtroom court politics. Like, we don't care.
No one cares. And again, like that's why it feels like a TV show where it's like, they just need to fill up 42 minutes this week. But this was a movie.
This was definitely a movie.
It was a movie.
Oh, Hell on Heels, Lou. What do you think for Hell on Heels? What do you want to give it?
I'm going to give it a solid 10.
10. And you're mad about it.
Yeah. I'll go 10 as well.
10. I'll go 15. Because she does like push Eddie Redmayne off a platform or kick him at one point.
No, she does. Well, doesn't
does she not?
What happens
she hits him with a pipe or something.
She does hit him with a pipe.
He hits him with a pipe.
But he also hits her with a pipe, and then she refuses to like do the final blow, and then she walks away, and then the ground just falls underneath them. So she doesn't do anything.
She doesn't really do much. Yeah.
She just keeps climbing like she knows where she's going.
It would have been incredible if she bludgeoned him to death.
Yeah.
Because that would have been also so shocking for the tone of that whole movie.
Right. She eats his face. Violent, or just,
eats
like,
his face.
I've had enough.
Rips his throat with her teeth.
Hour and 45 minutes, we're wondering why this is unrated. And then you see.
Yeah.
It's also one of those things that climaxes. All of a sudden, it all hinges on like, oh, this entire like huge scientifically advanced facility. You heard it in this one spot. The entire thing collapses like a house of cards.
Yeah. They're spraying people and healing wounds.
They can't build a facility.
You don't have the infrastructure?
Nope.
You got a rusty ass platform?
I guess it was made by the lowest bidder.
I guess.
All right, finally, the last of the canon categories, Lou. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Jupiter Ascending to a gay person?
If I wanted to have sex with them, pretty highly.
This could be a good one to have on.
It's a really good one to have on.
To start, really like, hey, let's come watch a movie, because who cares if you like stop paying attention
cares?
To it?
Yeah, we're not watching this. But would I recommend this to a queer person? Absolutely not.
No.
No, I would. I would, because there is camp and there's wonder in it, and I could have friends and we could chit talk and have that. And also, this is also coming off of this past weekend, I saw Megan. And
The movie.
The movie. You have to have someone do that movie. I would say I would recommend this. So I guess for me, I'd give it a 68.
68.
While watching this movie, I was like, on paper, this seems like a campy movie. I want it to be like Flash Gordon. Like, it reminded me a lot of Flash Gordon.
There's a lot of Flash Gordon.
Like, just like a human normal person is suddenly like a part of this huge, like, intergalactic crazy world with all these crazy characters, and like hawk people and lizard people and all this stuff. And I was just like, it's just flat. It's just so boring.
It needs all a queen CGI. Soundtrack.
Everything needs a queen soundtrack. I'll give it a 12.
A 12, John said. No, take that off my screen. I think this is pretty goofy fun. I think it's a fun one to have on. It's dumb, but also, like, you can leave the room for 20 minutes, come back, you'll be fine. I'll give it a 60. Give it an average of 46.67, which is 30 points lower than Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, which, honestly, that makes sense. All right, now we are into the aforementioned wheel category. Spinning wheel.
So these categories are categories previous guests have brought in. We've put them all in this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin this twice. Whatever categories randomly pop up, that's how we will judge this movie. Then we have a listener wheel, which is all categories that our listeners have submitted. So we're going to spin that once. Whatever category pops up, we will use that. And then you will either come up with an original category, which we can add to the wheel, or we can choose one that exists on the wheel that might work. And does all that make sense?
Yes.
All right, cool. We'll walk you through it. Here we go. First spin of the wheel.
Would you have told us if it didn't make sense?
No.
That's what I thought.
All that jazz, songs you would dance to in a club.
All that jazz, songs you would dance to in a club.
I will say, I do think the score is really good.
But would you dance to it in a club?
Absolutely not. There's nothing, right? There's no pop
I don't think there's
song.
Any, like, songs in it.
Right, which you don't really expect in most sci-fi epics.
No.
I mean, maybe if someone did a dance remix to like the theme.
I mean, other than the Fifth Element, I don't think there's any like opera, because all of its tone and
bombast
environment.
And,
Well, Star Wars, you've got the Cantina Band, you've got Cy Snoodles at Jabba the Hutt's Palace. There's some stuff.
We never got to the wedding reception, unfortunately.
No.
If there was, if
the village people would have been played.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's like nothing in it, right?
Shit would have been popping off.
Anything.
I mean, it's in Chicago. Doesn't Chicago's known for its like blues houses.
I've heard Chicago has music.
Yes, it's blues houses. The House of Blues.
Sure. Yes.
That's a club, right? We don't hear one. He couldn't jet boot into one of those.
No. Nope.
No, this one's pretty wheel not being kind.
Nuh-uh.
No. I'm going to give, I guess, for this, a 5.
A 5.
Yeah, I'll go 3.
3. I guess this is one of those movies. Tom Twyker, who's they co-directed Cloud Atlas with and also did Run Little. He does all his movies. He has the score. He lets his, like, composer make the music before they even shoot the movie. So he makes the movie to the score, and they did that for this movie. And then someone made a ballet out of like four pieces of this music.
From Jupiter Ascending?
Yeah. But it doesn't have anything to do with the movie. It's just, it's about the planets or something.
So also Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Something to do with the movie.
Yeah, yeah. But not like the plot of the movie anyways.
Well, I'm glad that they put all that focus on the music and not what people were actually
saying. Yeah, not any story.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's, I'll give it a zero. I'm just like,
there we go.
Okay.
Giving it a 2.67. All right. Okay, spin that wheel one more time. Michael Giacchino did the score. One of my favorite composers.
Busy Wallpaper.
Busy Wallpaper.
I mean, is there any wallpaper in this movie? Like, it'd be in the Russian.
I didn't see any.
There's a lot of very fluid wall structures.
There's a lot of like green screen where like they're like the cities behind them. There's
a lot of like big windows more than walls.
But also like that is busy. What's and like that essentially is wallpaper. You know what I mean? It is.
But it's a window.
Yeah, but it's not in real life. It is just a green screen. It's just an effect. You know what I mean? It's not. I'm saying like it's a form of wallpaper. The green screening of a busy.
But it's not a wall and it's not paper. But it's
a form
of wallpaper.
Well, they are really standing in front of a green screen, which they then like rotoscoped onto a futuristic cityscape.
That's I feel like that's a stretch.
Absolutely.
Real
God
stretch,
forbid
yeah.
we stretch on a podcast.
Uh-huh.
But I would say that's the other thing that bothers me is like when you do look at the cityscapes or anything, I was like, this doesn't seem like enlightened or fun or exciting.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm like, which again feels very bisexual to me. I'm like, what's going on here? I'm frustrated.
Frustrated. You have all the options.
I know.
Yeah, but that's sometimes frustrating.
Maybe even worse than like have all the
and
options.
And sometimes it's a little bit,
I'm at the buffet and I still don't know what I want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's very confusing.
Salad or soup? Why not both?
Put your salad in your soup.
No one's happy.
And now no one's happy, and that is Jupiter Ascending. And
yes. We gave you everything, and nobody liked it.
Yeah, no one liked it. Wallpaper, I'm going to have to be honest, because it was so unmemorable, these wallpapers, I'm going to give it a 2.
That's exactly what I was going to give it a 2, because I was like, I bet in the house that she, with her family, there was probably some, but it was so chaotic and crazy. But yeah, I'll give it a 2 as well.
Yeah, how dare they not make the wallpaper pop?
But I can't even like remember what it looks like.
I don't even think there was. I think it was just plain walls. I think I'll give it a 5. Give an average of 3.
So generous.
Now we're into the listener category.
Okay, so there's less categories, but equally beloved and important. Here we go.
Suddenly Shouting.
Shouting. Okay.
Wow.
Now.
Okay. All right.
Now we're here.
This comes from our listener, Ian Hinckley, from the Auteur Detour podcast. So thank you, Ian. Podcast. Their description is, does a character's dialogue suddenly shift from talking to screaming? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Exclusively Eddie Redmayne's character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exclusively.
I mean, that is like the one thing I mostly remember about this movie. It's like Eddie Redmayne suddenly screaming. You heard a suddenly Susan? How about suddenly screaming?
He's just like,
suddenly shouting.
Suddenly shouting.
I'm going to give it a 98.
98.
I'll give it a 75.
70. Come on, John. What
it's
more
just
that
one
want?
Character.
Yeah,
one
but
more
what
characters
other movie?
Do that.
Come on. I'm giving 75. It 100. I'm giving 100 and suddenly shouting, giving it a 91. And if you would like to contribute a category, just go. There's a Google form in the show notes. Please submit one. Mm-hmm. All right, Lou, the time has come for you to come up with a category, or you can choose a pre-existing one. Did you have any thoughts on a category that we can judge how gay?
I do have a thought on a category.
Let's hear it.
Would I show this movie to my grandmother instead of coming out to her verbally.
Oh, like a coded message?
Yes.
Would I use this to come out to my grandmother?
Yes. Would I use this to come
this
out to my
This is kind grandmother? Of like when I came out the summer. I started talking to my mother about like what Origins of Love meant in Hedwig and the Angry before I was out to her. You know what I mean? You're kind of like dipping your toe into the water.
You're giving them samplers.
Yes.
Okay.
But of all the Wachowskis, this would probably be the one I would like. I don't know if this would be the one I would choose the most, but it is all the fact that it is such like a goofy, fairly
it's a
campy.
I feel like it's a very gateway. Yeah, you know? It's like a little gateway.
Yeah. It's like I don't see a lot of straight guys showing their grandmother Jupiter Ascending.
Exactly.
I don't think anyone's showing their grandmother Jupiter Ascending.
The Wachowskis might have. Yeah.
Speak for yourself. I played it at her funeral.
Thank you.
That's how you came out to your grandmother at your funeral.
Oh, yeah. Timed. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, she handled it poorly because she's dead.
So you went to her funeral, showed her a movie, and then she died. Maybe the timing was perfect.
Maybe. For this movie, I would give it maybe like a 30.
30. I will give it a 3.
3. John is being very tough today. I'll give it a 35. Giving it a 22.67. All right, now we're into the bonus category.
Extra, extra.
So these categories, as their name implies, are bonus. So it's just extra points it gets. So if it doesn't do well in these categories, it's not going to work against the movie, but it doesn't help. So we're rating from 0 to 10.
Okay.
All right, the first one, musical potential. Could you see a musical being made out of Jupiter Ascending? Well, that woman did make a ballet out of the score.
So it does have potential. It is a space opera.
True.
Right. They'd almost have to make it like the Princess Diaries version of it, where it's just all about her, like, now you're a queen in this like intergalactic royalty system.
And I would say, again, like, I think the thing that was so fascinating about Jupiter Ascending is that it was basically a movie that has been done so many times before, like storylines and plot lines.
By the Wachowskis themselves.
Yeah.
The whole thing, there are like unclear stakes. Like, oh, I guess there are humans on other planets, but at the end of the movie, we're not too concerned about rescuing them either.
I think a musical can be made out of it, but I don't think it would be a good one.
No, it's also hectic, right. I feel like. There's so much like, now we're going from this thing. Now we got to do this thing. Now they're just, it's just like a chase movie but with no real stakes.
And I think like what little the movie does well, I think doesn't, I mean, you obviously a musical doesn't have to be on stage, but this would be like a horrible thing to stage because like the visuals are what's so fun about it, and to try to recreate the visuals of this movie in a stage would be really tough.
How would you do the jet boots?
How would you do jet
tap
boots?
Shoes
that's
yes. Wow. Yes.
That's really underwhelming.
Not if Savion Glover was in those tap shoes. Thank you very much.
But to go from like flying around the skyline of Chicago to just tapping.
Exactly. It's a terrible idea.
You can't put them up on wires?
I think John hated
tapping on wires is sort of what's the taps hitting?
There's no tapping, I'm saying. I think Eddie Redmayne can
like Peter
have
Pan.
A tap number. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We actually have him fly. I'm dare to suggest.
I mean, you know, they had the Spider-Man turning off the dark, which, you know, was a disaster, but still they have the technology to fling a human being around a theater. So like it's there. And it's there. To have like maybe like light up, you know, because like they're just lighting up shoes, but also have them be tap shoes so that when they do hit the floor, they're just working.
You could do the I Want song is all her just like cleaning toilets, you know, like.
Sure. Just asking a lot of questions. Life.
Yeah.
And then
have
a B chorus. That's what, thank you. You got to involve the B's. So musical for me, the potential is a 6.
A 6. Pretty high.
I'm going to have to give it a 1 on this one.
1. I'll give it a 2. It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Giving it a 3. All right. The next got a queer menace. Are there any queer menaces? Well, I think mostly Eddie Redmayne.
Is who I could think of. Yeah.
Mostly Eddie Redmayne. And again, like, in the time in which it came out, you don't need to have queer-coded villains.
That's true.
I wouldn't think so.
And I think like that's where you lose points. Like if this movie came out, you know, like 92, we'd be like, okay, maybe.
Maybe Alan Rickman or something.
Alan Rickman would do well. But would he do as well as Eddie Redmayne?
It'd be a different take.
Yeah. It would be, it's apples and shrimp. I'd say Edward Redmayne gave a lot, so I'm going to give it a 35.
A 0 to 10, 3.5?
Oh, 3.5 then.
Okay.
I think it's all just Eddie Redmayne. I'll give it a 2.
2. I'll give it a 5, because I do think he's the best thing about the movie. Giving it a 3.5. All right, next category. Character actress makes a big swing. Well, he's not an actress, but I almost feel like we should get rid of the actress part of this. Just like anyone taking a big swing.
Yeah.
And I do think Eddie Redmayne is taking a big swing.
Yeah,
he is.
It's big. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
An 8.5. Loving the decimal.
I'll give it because it is still character actress makes a big swing. So I'm going to go 2.
What's the 2 for?
The aunt.
But she's really well. There's an
and Nino, played by Frog Stone. Come on,
the uncle was very broad in his performance.
Very broad.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5. Giving it a 5.17. I mean, he was the Danish girl. That's got to count for something.
Yeah.
Right. Our next category, macabre. How macabre is Jupiter Ascending? Well, Sean Bean's daughter's coughs, and that's how we know she's dying.
Sure.
Didn't you know? As soon as the character coughs for no reason,
You know, it's like, okay.
They're dead.
They could have edited it out if the actress just coughed.
I did like in the opening, though, that the aliens or whatever are roughing up a pregnant woman. Like, that's
really, That was really great. But overall, there wasn't. I bet you they thought that they were darker than they were, but they definitely weren't.
This is more like it had a real like 80s, like Saturday morning cartoon feel. Like even those bounty hunters looked like, you know, G.I. Joe rejects. Design of them all looks like we're and the Waste Boys or something.
And like the levels of aliens, the first aliens that they introduced you to were very generic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That poor woman who just has like big ears.
Yeah.
Like that's
right. Poor thing.
Yeah. Not flattering.
So macabre. I mean, a two?
A 2.
I'll go 1.
1. I think it's all because like there's never a sense of like, well, what does it mean to harvest humans? We never really see it.
Mm. Right.
It's mostly inferred, and then you're still not sure what that even means. We'll give it a 2. I mean, just the waste of money, maybe? It's fairly macabre. All right, finally, gay actors playing gay roles. Well, Samuel Barnett, who plays Bob, is.
Oh, okay.
So there is one.
Eddie
Redmayne is not.
And Channing Tatum is half duck.
That's true. That's representation.
And that's representation, and don't take
he
that
directed
away.
That
and he
movie,
is half dog in
dog.
Real life. Yeah, that's true.
He directed
true.
That movie Dog, which people liked.
It did well.
Yeah, it did. You know, I think it was like, and also one of like the first movies I felt that were coming out as cinemas were opening. Am I wrong or right about that?
It was around that time.
But that's inconsequential to the actual topic at hand. I'm gonna give it a 1 because that character was such a small character.
1.
Yeah, I'll give it a 2 for that guy.
2. I'll give it a 2. Giving it a 1.67, tying it with All About My Mother. How about that? All right, almost finally, we're into the iconic category.
All right, so these categories are bigger, broader, more wide-reaching categories. So it's now we're scoring them from 0 to 225.
Okay.
All right, the first one. What would you rate Jupiter Ascending on 0 to 225 in homoeroticism? How homoerotic is Jupiter Ascending?
There was nothing sexual about that
movie.
They were given visuals of people's bodies, but
it
felt more like a museum than it did eroticism. So I'm going to give it a strong 15.
15.
Yeah, I'll give it 15 as well. That sounds about right.
It's a strong 15.
We got Channing Tatum like shirtless for about 30 minutes though.
But he's not like with another dude.
But for
me, it's still like a shirtless
guy. For me,
look, I'm not giving it 225.
It was built into action. If there was homoeroticism, they would have held it longer enough where you can just take a photographic memory of the. I was like, he's moving around a lot, And I'm not getting to see
heel.
Yeah.
Sit. Stay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Rub your belly. Be the dog you are.
He does play in This Is the End. Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, he did that bit role. Yeah.
He's the sub. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a 40. Giving it a 23.33, which is 30 points lower than Jingle All the Way. All right, our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch this and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I mean, the looks are fun. I think this is probably where it's its most strongest. But there's not even something that I feel like if you were to just show me a picture of one of these looks that I would immediately be like, oh my God, Jupiter Ascending.
I think if you did...
The wedding dress, I think.
The wedding dress, and also I do think his like Channing Tatum, just like a blonde goatee and pointy ears and like big chunky boots. I think you'd know that.
Definitely. Yeah. But that's but there is a lot of like fun, great looks, but still like there's nothing that feels like, oh, yes, that iconic look on that person.
That's fair.
Even if they're not iconic, there's just not a lot of like inspired looking thing. It's all fairly kind of generic looking overall.
Yeah.
No, I think while queer people were involved in some of the fashion, I think they did it out of spite.
They did it for the paycheck.
They did it for the paycheck.
This will go towards my Palm Springs weekend.
That's right. I'm going to give it a really good 32.
32.
I think there are some fun looks, so I will give it a 68.
68. I mean, you got those big gargoyles and suits.
It was all CGI, though, for the most part.
So no, that's good. It's good for
you. Can't do a drag
Dracula
version of a CGI character. Yeah,
Dracula would make be all wings. Over
that. Okay, sure.
I'll give it a 70. Giving it a 56.67. All right, our next one, Queer 101. How much of this would you say is an essential text for queer people?
Well, I'll say I learned things about myself and uncovered new levels of queerness.
Wow.
Okay.
And that maybe I'm straight.
Oh. This is like
maybe I'm straight. Maybe
our conversion camp.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A, check out what they're doing. I wouldn't say that there's a lot going on, but there is camp where you'd be like, hey, this is like straight camp. So this is like this is like the straight version of that. But I feel like I've been way too hard giving them low numbers. So I'm going to be very generous and I'm going to give them 40.
A 40.
I think you've got this course has to be going on for years before I get to Jupiter Ascending. So I will give it a 17.
17. I mean, just I guess the Wachowskis of it all. Yes, but this would not be the top of the list.
No,
to introduce someone to the work of the Wachowskis. This is very minor Wachowskis. I'll give it a, but it is the Wachowskis. So
it is the Wachowskis.
It is an interesting contrast to like, oh, it makes all the other ones look that much gayer. You know what I mean?
They're not always that interesting.
Yeah. So I'll also give it a 40 for that. Giving it a 32.33. Finally, the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Jupiter Ascending? I mean, I think here is its strongest category.
Yeah, I do think that there's a lot going on. And I think because of that, that is inherently camp. I just think that the flavor of camp felt very like safe. I think it was also, like I said, a lot of the camp was taken down by all this exposition dialogue. Like that took a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you removed it and you just looked at those moments, you're like, this is silly. This is ridiculous. This is absurd.
It was like all the camp felt joyless to me.
Yes. And I think it was because the joy was taken from you once action started.
At the start of the movie.
Yeah. It's like
after those logos.
You were hit with a tranquilizer and they're like, okay, enjoy your day. And it was like, and you know what? People do that. Okay, in the house. I want to be generous and I'll give them 82.
82.
I think it's so, I don't know, to me, I kept being like, why am I not having fun with this when like everything on paper seems like, oh, it's campy and ridiculous. I should be laughing or at least having that fun with it. And I didn't at all. I'm going to go 39.
Was your hand stuck in something?
No.
Was there like something personal going on?
No.
No? Well, I don't know what to tell you. All right, I will maybe, I have a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Tweaking studio logos. Maximilian Jones, the son of an English diplomat who always saw the best in people, dying for a telescope. Your lead actress being introduced with a scene where she cleans a toilet. An entire planet seemingly designed by Frank Gehry, Eddie Redmayne's entire performance. Another scene where Mila Kunis cleans the toilet. An interplanetary dog-based bounty hunter smelling medical records in a fertility center in Chicago. A barking gun. Unconvincing green screen. A humble gargoyle henchman saying, Catherine Dunleavy, using a pseudonym to sell your eggs for some reason, a beehive-covered house straight out of a Miyazaki movie, crop circles, a room filled with too many candles, skinny dipping in front of the reincarnation of your mother. Is Jupiter Jones the original Nepo baby? Unconvincing romances, strapping in before you portal, Brazil homages featuring Terry Gilliam, chandeliers in space that feel very The Grove, wanting to marry the genetic reincarnation of your mother. The Wachowskis sure do have a thing for farming humans, having more than one scene where Channing Tatum has to stop Mila Kunis from signing a contract. And finally, yet another scene where Mila Kunis cleans a toilet. I'll give it 124. Giving it an 81.67, which is 8 points higher than Jingle All the Way. Boy, that's coming up a lot.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Ooh. And it's very similar to Jingle All the Way.
Very similar vibes.
They're sister films.
Yeah.
The Earth is the doll, I guess. The Power Man or whatever his name was.
The Earth is Power Man. Yeah. Earth is Power Man.
All right, now finally we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories we don't rate, we just say yes or no. We think it gets this bonus.
Okay.
All right. A 50% bonus of all the points for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Jupiter Ascending have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
I'm gonna shock some people here and I'm gonna say no.
Bro.
What?
I said it. And I don't want to hear it.
People have been
Come for me.
It's 2023 and you're saying that. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bold.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no portrayal of homosexuality.
Absolutely. Not really. I mean, even if you wanted to say, like, you know, the Wachowskis are queer themselves, but this isn't their
not best. Their best work.
No, this is not their best work. It's real rough when you say it's no Cloud Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Finally, negative 50% of all the points. If this is the movie Stonewall,
this is not the movie Stonewall, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it. We're done.
All right, Lou. So
are you sure it's not the movie Stonewall?
I mean, it is a lot of movies. Is one of them Stonewall?
Is one of the movies under the flaps of where the movies is it Stonewall? Uh-huh.
It's not. It is not. All right.
So now that we've been through it all, do you still think it's going to come in 25th place?
You know, I'm going to be hopeful. I'm going to say yes.
Wow. Ever the optimist.
I'll be hopeful and say yes, you know?
Everything is okay, maybe. All right, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,094.55 points, Jupiter Ascending has scored 724.88, giving a percentage of 34.61%.
Nice.
Making it the 159th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Submarine, but gayer than The Secret of Nim.
That sounds about right.
That feels right.
Submarine, as I recall, was a very straight movie.
Well, Submarine got a 35.45.
Okay.
Maybe some of those needle drops, you know.
Yeah.
All righty. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, we did it, Lou. How do you feel?
I feel like I did a disservice.
To who or what?
Because I my memory is what did it from, because I was like, I do remember going to the movies and having a good time. And I think it was because we were really drunk and high. And
that'll do it.
And again, I really do akin the situation with like a karaoke song that is way too long. You're like, oh, I like parts of this, but most of this, I don't remember.
Sure.
But I do think that I think it's a valuable movie to explore because I love bad movies. And
there
I think
you go.
This,
I you never go. Regret watching it. I always have a good time. It's goofy as hell. Does any of it work? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. But
absolutely not.
Well, Lou, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
give me money.
Does if they see you, throw some dollars at
you? If you see me on the street, if you see me online, say, hey, do you need money? And the answer is probably yes.
Sure.
So check me out on these streets looking for money. Also, check out Squirrel Comedy Theater. We're going to be doing a whole bunch of cool programming. If you go on my Instagram, truly, I don't post anything except TikTok videos.
I have to say, Lou, your curation of TikTok is masterful. I am constantly astounded. Like, he is a must follow. If you're someone who's like, I kind of want to get into TikTok, but I don't want to actually get into TikTok, follow Lou on Instagram. You pick the most amazing, hilarious, delightful. I cannot say enough good things about your Instagram and your TikTok curation. It is masterful. You have to follow him.
Follow Angry Lou. I will say it's something that I'm surprised, and it's made my algorithm on TikTok incredible.
Oh my God, it must
have. I was like, I'm so blessed.
That makes sense, because I will watch it. I'll be like, how does he find all of this stuff? It's amazing.
Yeah, I just lucked into a really good algorithm, and I'm just sharing it with the
world. You're in that groove.
Oh, please share.
At the apple cart.
Oh my goodness.
What are you on TikTok? Or should we not bother following you on TikTok?
I'm at Angry Lou. I mean, I repost stuff. Like, I started being like, oh, because I did not understand what TikTok was. I was like, oh, I'll just put my Instagram reels on there. I mean, my Instagram stories on there. I just didn't understand what it was. And then once I understood it, I was like, oh.
The opposite.
Like Jupiter Ascending, you're like, there's so many different avenues that you can go in this. And I just became paralyzed by it. And now I just consume it and I gobble it up. And then I vomit it into Instagram.
We are all the better for it.
Yeah.
The digestive system is working.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, everyone, check that out. Thank you so much, Lou. And thank you so much, listeners. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @2oldqueens, TW Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, you can email us at @2oldqueens, twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought, if we got anything wrong. We love hearing from you.
And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/twooldqueens. For just a few extra bucks a month, you get twice the queenage. Sure.
Yeah, sure. That works. We also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for @2oldqueens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Oakwood Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
And that's it for us. We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen,
artwork by Conrad Shin,
and special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.